Genesis chapter 8. Good to see everybody out. I want you to know that I love you and the Lord, and I appreciate the privilege of being here at this church. Genesis chapter 8, and God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. The fountains also of the deep, and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. And the waters returned from off the earth continually, and after the end of the 150 days, the waters were abated. And the ark rested in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, were the tops of the mountains seen. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made, and he sent forth a raven, which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. Also he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her feet, and she returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto him into the ark. And he stayed yet other 7 days, and again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came in to him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. And he stayed yet other 7 days, and sent forth a dove, which returned not again unto him any more. Lord, help us to preach, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to preach the message today. We'll pick up next week here at the verse 13. But I want to preach on the message, the raven and the dove. The raven and the dove. Now, Noah is a double type, and most of this church is familiar with typology and the foreshadowing of people and events and situations in the Old Testament that they will foreshadow oftentimes a New Testament doctrine or New Testament prophecy. Sometimes typology just includes doctrine. Sometimes it includes prophecy. But it always has something of great value for us. Now, when you're looking at typology, you always want to just let the Holy Ghost do its speaking and not try to make it say things further than it says. But Noah is an interesting typology in the Old Testament because he's a double, what we call a double type. Noah, first of all, and primarily, is a picture of Israel going through the tribulation period, and being saved during that time. That's why the Bible says, and so all Israel shall be saved, and Israel make it through the tribulation and come out on the other side into the kingdom, the millennial kingdom, which that's what they're praying for. When you see them praying at the Wailing Wall, they're praying for the Messiah to come and to establish the kingdom. And this picture here is a picture of the answered prayer, and Noah is a picture of primarily, first typology is primarily a picture of him going through the tribulation. But there's a second typology. You know, I want to digress here for just a second. I'm a little hesitant to say this, but as a pastor, I want to say it in case some of you get hit with this. There is a little theological doctrine floating around the United States now that says that that Jesus Christ, his 3.5 years of ministry was the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. I do not know how they come up with such concoction, but it is floating around quite a bit, and that the he's going, you know, they're just 3.5 more years and blah, blah, blah. So just, if you hear that, perk up your ears and know that no matter how good it sounds, there's something wrong with that. That has all kinds of holes in it, all kinds of problems in it. Now, what they'll tell you in that is that, well, nowhere in the New Testament does it say 7 years specifically. But I want to got news for you that the Old Testament is full of prophecy and teaching concerning the millennial reign, and yet the Old Testament never says 1,000 years. But it does say in the New Testament. Just because it doesn't say in the Old Testament does not negate what it says in the New Testament. Now, let's get back to Noah in his second type. Noah is a type of the believer in Christ. The ark is a type of our salvation. The ark is a type of Christ. And the Bible teaches us that we are to get in Christ. Or when we're saved, when we repented of our sin and believed and trusted upon the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, God places us in Christ. And this ark is a picture or a foreshadow of being, the believer being, where? In Christ. And in Christ, he is saved, and he is secure, and he is safe till the storm passes by. Amen? And then Noah is a picture, as I said, of the believer in Christ. And God shut the door and sealed the door, and he is sealed in Christ unto the day of redemption. Now, Noah, as I said, is a type of the believer. How many's got that much down? We got it down. Noah's a type of the believer in Christ. Now, I want you to notice that whenever he's in this ark, chapter 8, he comes out with two birds. These two birds, the raven and the dove, speak of the dual nature that is within the believer in Christ. Now, I want to tell you something today, that the raven speaks of the old flesh nature that the saved person still has in him. And the dove speaks of the new nature, the spiritual nature, born of the Spirit that a man has that is in Christ. Now, if you don't believe that, remember that Jesus said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3 and verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And so that, well, I want to preach first of all this morning on the fact of the raven and the dove. They were both on board with Noah. And one of the greatest things you need to learn is, if you're saved here today, and really even if you're lost today, you need to know this, that getting saved does not do away with your old flesh nature in this life. You're still going to have a wicked, sorry, low-down, nasty, vile, wicked flesh nature in you, even though you're saved and in Christ. That may shock you. There are a lot of lost people out here that they'll give you this old line, I get saved, but I can't live it. They have it, and the devil has fed them full of a false doctrine that if they get saved, that they should never sin no more. And I agree with you that we ought not sin. Amen? But the fact, and this is what I'm preaching about, the fact of the raven and the dove in the believer is a reality, and you need to learn it, and you need to face it. Amen? Now, one of the most deceitful and damaging lies and false doctrines that the devil's ever persuaded people of in various ways and in various religions is that they do not have both natures after they're saved, or that they can eradicate the flesh nature. I want to tell you something. You're not going to eradicate that flesh nature. Now, the Bible does teach us to crucify the flesh with the affections and the lusts thereof. And Paul said, I die daily. But I want to tell you something. I have never met a man that didn't have a flesh nature, even I don't care how spiritually thought he was. I want to tell you that man that acts like he doesn't have a flesh nature is a man that's either proud or deceived, one or the other. He's a self-righteous man, and the best thing you can do this morning is just come to grips with it and admit it. I do have a flesh nature. I've got a raven in me that loves to feed on rot. Amen? Now, which was the first bird that was sent out? It was the raven. Which is the first nature you had? The flesh. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 3, the Bible said, we were by nature the children of wrath. Ishmael is a type of the flesh, and Isaac is a type of the spirit. Both there were sons of Abraham, but Ishmael was born of the flesh, and he was the oldest, and Isaac was born of the spirit of promise, and he was the youngest. So there in the Old Testament is your typology again of the flesh and the spirit. In fact, there are others in the Bible as well. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32, the Bible describes the flesh as the old man. That old man, he's the old man. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 9, it says that we're to put off the old man with the deeds of the flesh. Then Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through 21, Paul gets in this big tirade about I, that which I would, I do not, that which I would not, I do. And you'll list that word, I believe, it's in there something like 32 or 33 times. And Paul is dealing with the old I, the raven, the flesh nature within him. He was wrestling with it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, it is called the natural man. It's called the natural man. Jesus said this, get this down, the flesh profiteth nothing. Believe him. He knows what he's talking about. My flesh nature profits nothing. Paul said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 8 that the flesh cannot please God. Don't even try it. The flesh cannot please God. Anything you do for God in the flesh, God rejects and will not accept. Romans chapter 6 and verse 6 talks about the old man, the flesh. Paul said, I know that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 9 and 10, it talks about whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, for he is born of God. That passage of Scripture is, you cannot rightly divide the word of truth, nor ever understand that verse unless you understand that within you dwells both the old flesh nature and the divine nature of God. You see, when that which is born of the Spirit does not sin because it is conceived of the Holy Ghost. Now, there's four things about the raven I want to preach on this morning real quick. In Leviticus chapter 11, verse 15, the Bible said that the raven is an unclean animal, and our flesh is unclean. Amen? I'll tell you, most of us had to wash the grime off of us this morning. Amen? if you didn't put perfume on and deodorant on, you stink like an old hog this morning. Amen? I mean, your flesh is rotten and your teeth rot. I mean, it'll just, I don't know where all the dirt comes from, but the flesh stinks, amen. It's an unclean thing, and God says that all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. That old raven's nasty bird, amen. He's a nasty old bird, and your flesh is nasty. I'll tell you, I don't like to be around people who think they're holy, 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 and never sin. I don't enjoy being in a church service where they put on a false facade of being some kind of holy people that never do anything wrong, and what I do is not sin, though. I don't like to be around people who put on this big dog of being filled with the Holy Ghost like they got some kind of corner on it, and when all the time they got the same nasty bird in them that I got in me. And they're good at putting it on at the church house, but you go live with them at their house for a while and see how they live behind the door of their house, and you know they got just as nasty a bird as you got. You just well come to grips with it, quit playing games and deceiving yourself. You got a flesh nature and your nasty thing. Amen. Billy Graham's got a flesh nature in him. John Hagee's got a flesh nature in him. I heard John Hagee talk about it one day. Said he pulled up to a stoplight and these carload of people and the light turned green and they wouldn't move. And he's needing to get somewhere in a hurry. He began to honk his horn and finally they wouldn't maybe honk. His face out the window said, "Move that thing." Come find out, it's a load of car folks went to his church. Amen. Hey, they all got it, amen. I'll tell you, the Pope's got a flesh nature. He ain't got a divine nature, but he sure got a flesh nature. He lies like a dog all the time. Amen. Listen to me. This Bible will reveal you and I just like we are. And you ain't never going to grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ until you let the Holy Ghost and the Word of God humble you and admit to Him that even though you're saved, apart from the grace of God and the Holy Spirit of God, you sorry, low-down, wicked, nasty thing. I tell you what, you wouldn't even want to. What's went through your mind this week put up here on a projector screen? That's how nasty we are. Amen. That's right. We'll never plant the seed and never pop till the ground's plowed up. Amen. I'm just saying this, he's an unclean thing. The second of all, in Isaiah 34:11, it said he's a solitary bird. You know what that means? He don't need nobody. He don't need God. Solitary. God said that the raven is a solitary bird. And I'll tell you, your flesh don't need God. Your flesh don't want God around. Your flesh don't need prayer. Your flesh don't need fasting. Your flesh don't need to read the Bible. Your flesh, hey, how many of you guys with flesh wanted to come to church this morning? No, you had to drag him here with you. Amen. He's a solitary thing. He don't want God around. He's proud. He don't need God. And then number three, God says and teaches us in Proverbs 30:17 that the raven is a flesh eater. The eye that mocketh at his father and despises to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out. A raven thrives on dead stuff. Now that raven was sent out of the ark. And the Bible says that he just went to and fro. He'd go out, stay quite a while, come back in. What's he doing out there? Outside that ark was the floating, rotting, maggot-filled carcasses of dead people and dead animals. And that old raven flew out of the ark. Ah! There's a bloated goat. Boy, that looks like supper to me. I've been in the ark. Ain't nothing dead to eat in there. That's why the flesh don't like church, amen. There'll not be nothing dead in here to eat, amen. Hey, that's why NIV ain't no good. It's dead meat. You know why them folks like the NIV? Because they're ravens. And them ravens like that dead meat. You got your no authorized Bible, amen. It's live meat from heaven. I mean, tell you, it's the bread of God. No flesh don't want to eat on it. He wants to go find something dead. So he goes out there, and he says, there's a carcass of bitterness. Your flesh likes to eat on bitterness. Somebody hurts you. Somebody offended you. So you're going to go, I'm going to promise you something. If you like to eat rot, the devil will serve you all you want to eat. So he got you bitter, so you're going to feed on bitterness. Just I mean, I've seen people for years feed on bitters. I know people. They're all for years and years and years. They can't enjoy preaching. They can't enjoy singing. They can't enjoy church because they're too busy eating bitterness. They're eating that old rot, corrupted, maggot-filled garbage the devil feeds. I want to ask you something. You're feeding on bitterness. Who is it you haven't forgiven? Who is it offended you at church? Who in your family offended you? Who lied on you? Who hurt you? Who done you dirty? Who did you wrong? You're just feeding on it all the time. Hey, that's your stinking, nasty, rotten, low-down flesh. That's not the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. Just well say amen, isn't it right? Well, how about the old dead carcass of gossip? Oh. No. I promise. No, I won't tell. I promise. Now, what is it? Tell me. I promised I wouldn't tell. Tell me. Remember that the next time somebody's gossiping, you're just feeding on maggots. Dead, rotten garbage that the flesh eats. Amen. How about defilement? Unforgiveness, grudges, malice, jealousy, envy. How many just jump up on that old dead carcass and eat that junk? They got a new truck. Amen. Hey, don't eat on that garbage. If you're doing, you know, you don't. Hey, at least if you know this, at least know this. You'll know which bird's flying. Right? The raven. How about feeding on TV? Eat it, amen. Worldly pleasures and entertainment, lust, immorality. That old raven went out to and fro eating on those old dead, floating, rotten, maggot-filled carcasses. And he loves it. And your flesh loves worldly garbage. Don't you ever forget it. Your flesh loves worldly garbage. You know what it loves? That's why MTV is so popular. Now, I'll tell you something. I'm going to get on the bandwagon. I'll tell you. I'm talking about Dixie Chickens. I'll tell them three little sluts don't do nothing but feed on garbage. Amen. And I'll tell you, I'm mad at them. Get over in England and run down our president and run down our military board. I'll tell you something. If you've got a Dixie Chicks CD, you'll stomp it and break it on a rock before you can go out there and repent. Amen. You don't know anything about them people's lives. Read about their lives. The three little sluts that lives off fornication, adultery, drugs, drink, and nastiness. So we just figure out which bird you're flying on. Amen. Galatians chapter 5 is the works of the flesh. So these manifest, which are these. Would you turn over there to Galatians chapter 5? You say, Reg, you mad this morning? That's right. I'm mad at the devil. Amen. Amen. He said in verse number 5, chapter 5, verse 18, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Brother Chris Hilliard Jr. was telling me this morning, he read a report this week, that every one of those boys that was involved in the killings, these schoolhouse killings, every one of them, wasn't it, Chris, has taken psychological drugs like Ritalin or Prozac in their life. Every one of them. That's the common theme that those boys had among themselves. That is witchcraft listed in this passage of Scripture. In the Greek, that's pharmacia, if you want to get technical about it. And that's the distinction of devils through the usage of drugs. And you go out and take a bunch of drugs, I want to tell you something. Listen, you better be careful what you're taking and what you're giving your kids, because you unleash a bunch of devils come right through that stuff. That's why people will do things that they wouldn't normally do when they're under the influence of drugs. Demonism is conduit through drugs. Fourthly, Song of Solomon chapter 5, verse 11 says, the raven's black. Bible talks about, that speaks of the unchangeableness of the flesh. Now listen to me. That speaks of the unchangeableness of the flesh. Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Ye must, he said, marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. You cannot put new clothes on the raven and change him. You can't send him to college and change him. You can't educate him and change him. I mean, you can't legislate him and change him. You have to have a new birth. There has to be a dove born in you. There has to be a new nature put inside you by the Holy Ghost of God, born of the Spirit of God.
Jesus said, you can put him in a new environment and he's still a raven. I never will forget that old Mr. Daniels preaching down there one time. I listened to him preach. And he said he used to take a pig with him to revival meetings. He used to hold him old tent meetings. And he said, I had me a little pen, a little pig pen. I had the prettiest little pink pig you ever saw in your life. And he said before the service on a certain night, he said, I'd put a ribbon around her neck and a bow. He said, I'd paint her snout up with reddest ruby lipstick you ever seen. He said, I'd put earrings on that pig's ears. He said, I'd put the little pretty dress with flurries on it you ever saw. And he said, I'd tell people she was a religious pig. He said, I mean, she's the sweetest, prettiest little thing. But he said, I always dig me a little mud hole and pour water in it. And he said, I let just as quick as I'd let that pig out of that pen, said that old pig with that little flurry dress and that lipstick and that ruby red lipstick and all that, said she'd run right smack for that mud hole and get it. And said she'd just muddy herself. I said, that's why you got to be born again. You got no pig nature in you, amen. And you love dirt, you love filthiness, you got to be born again. You can't get religious, you got to be born again of the Spirit of God. I've probably talked to some people in here this morning. You put you on a little religious dress and you've got yourself snouted up with all kinds of religious stuff. But I'll tell you what you'll do. You get out of the church this morning and you can't help yourself. You go straight to the home pen. You wonder what's the matter with you. You need a new nature in you. Amen? I'm speaking about being born again this morning. Now, I want to say something about, we've talked about the raven. I want to talk about the dove. Because I want to tell you one thing. Now, listen to me. It's in my nature. I get up and preach hard and mean on the raven. But it's not as easy for me to preach on the dove. Boy, that's what we need. You see, I want to be honest with you. It ain't no big deal to get up here and rant and rave about the raven, how sorry and low down wicked the flesh is. But after you've done it, what good have you done, people, except just let them know? We got to have help. We got to not go and have help. We've got to have cure. We need a new creature. We need a new bird. And it's the dove. And boy, I want to tell you something. I'll be flat honest with you. As I studied, I can identify with that old raven real good, but that dove, he lives high and holy. And I have a harder time identifying with the dove than I do the raven. Let me just say a few things about the dove. First of all, they were sold in the marketplaces when Jesus was up on this earth. Because remember, he drove out the money changers where the doves were sold. They knew that dove had a part in the worship of God. They knew that dove was a sacrificial animal. They knew that dove had a place in God's design of worship. All four Gospels give the account of the Holy Ghost descending upon Jesus Christ like a dove. The dove made three trips in this passage of Scripture. They represent a complete salvation, the salvation of the spirit, the soul, and the body. The penalty of sin, the power of sin, the presence of sin, that the Holy Spirit of God at work in our lives does, born of the Spirit of God. But those three trips the dove made also foreshadow the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the entire Bible. In the Old Testament, you know, the Holy Ghost came upon men. The Bible says the Spirit came upon Samson. It came upon David. But he would leave them. The first time the dove was sent out, he went out and he found no rest of his soul's feet. Come right back. He would come out, he'd go out and come back in. The second time he came back with an olive leaf. That pictures the ministry of the Holy Ghost. By the way, that's why David said, take not thy spirit from me. He was praying exactly right for the dispensational work of the Holy Ghost in the Old Testament. He knew. He did not have the promise given to the New Testament Christians in the day of Pentecost that he would be with them forever. That's why Jesus said, he shall be with you forever. That was an unknown thing to people at that time. The Holy Spirit was sent out to empower people to service. And that was the first trip. The second trip the dove made, come back with the olive leaf. That pictured the ministry and the life of Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, the olive leaf forever. You ever heard that they're extending the olive branch? Extending peace. And Jesus Christ extends His peace to you and I through His death, burial, and resurrection. Peace with God. The third time the dove went out, He didn't return. Did not Jesus send the Holy Ghost out in the day of Pentecost and said, He shall be with you forever. And God sent Him out and said, perfect picture of the entire doctrine, the new the dove, the Holy Spirit, in the Word of God. Now what about this dove? The dove represents the new nature. Now let me say something to you. If you've been saved, if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have that new nature in you. The Bible says this in Romans 8:16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. And only you this morning know whether you have the witness of the Spirit in your own heart and life. But Noah had that dove. He was second. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, it's called the divine nature. This is something most people do not believe. in the religious world. And that is that God created a new creature. He said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. There is a divine nature conceived and created of the Holy Ghost of God within the life of the believer. And he's born of the Holy Spirit of God. And listen to you, just like 1 John chapter 3, verse 9 and 10 says, he cannot sin. And that new nature that you have, born of the Spirit, does not sin. And that's what qualifies you to heaven, is the new creature that God made in you. Now, you still have that old flesh nature. And we're going to be talking about Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24 says, the new man. Colossians chapter 3 talks about the new man and told to put it on. Now, let's turn to Colossians chapter 3. Now, I'm going to move maybe from preaching so much to doing some Bible teaching here. So get in, go. Colossians chapter 3, verse 10 tells us exactly. You know, I love this because he doesn't just say put on the new man. He tells us how to put on the new man. And that's important to me. And it says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 10, everybody there, say amen.
Amen.
Well, I'll tell you what let's do. Let's go up, let's begin in verse number 8. Here's where you put it off. But now you also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Those are things that the raven will produce in your life. Now, I promise you, when that anger's popping out and that wrath is popping out and that malice and that blasphemy and that filthy communication, that's the raven's line. And then verse number 9 says, lie not. And when we're lying and being deceptive and not being real, well, that's the raven flying. He's seeing that ye have done what? Put off what? The old man with his deeds. And have put on what? The new man, which is renewed in knowledge of after the image of him that did what? Create salvation is a new creation. It's not reformation. It's creation. It's regeneration. It's a new creature in Jesus Christ. Get a hold of that. Listen, that needs to be preached and preached and preached and preached. Because if you don't understand that, you'll always be trying to live the Christian life in the energy and power of the flesh, and God will reject it, and you'll get frustrated and wonder, what in the world? And no use trying. I'll give up. That's the way it is. Now he says in verse number 11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all in all. Watch verse 12. Now here it comes. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, vows of what? Mercies. Isn't that opposite of the raven nature? My raven nature, my old flesh, will not be merciful to you. My raven nature will say, you're getting what you deserve. He didn't like it. You made your bed, lie in it. But that ain't the way the dove is. And oh, how God's been working on me. I can all tell you the truth. I knew 7-8 Sundays ago I was coming here. And I'll tell you, I failed. As I examine my life, Brother Jerry, it looks like the ravens did a lot more flying than the dove is. But that's not what I want. But you know something? God gave me a little victory this week. There was a man who committed an offense towards someone I love very dearly. And for just a little bit, the raven flew out the window. But you know what? In just a little while, the Holy Spirit whispered real peace to me. And said, they'd be good come out of that. Let the dove fly. And you know what? Before I knew what was happening, I was praying for that man and thanking God for the offense. It was a whole different world.
Amen.
And the joy that came as a result of that is just beyond description. He said, put on mercies. Vows of mercy. Kindness. Humbleness of mind. Meekness. Long-suffering. Forbearing one another. And forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Can I just say something to us this morning? Ain't going to do no good for us to tell folks outside this church building about Jesus until everybody in this building from one side to the other and from the front to the back can say with a clear and honest conscience before God Almighty, ain't nobody in this building I don't love. Nobody in this building I haven't forgiven. And I want to tell you something. Don't you say you forgive them if you still cut them off. Truth about us is, not only is it easier for me to preach about the raven flying, it's easier for you to listen to the raven flying. It's harder when we're confronted with the fact about having the dove to fly in our life. That's what's tougher. listen, as a pastor, do you think that I'm never offended? Do you think I approve of everything everybody says and does? But you know something? There is available to us, within us, by the creation of God Almighty, by His divine love, the dove of God that can do these things. God's not going to tell us to put these on and not give us the capacity and the ability to do that. God will enable everybody in this building to love the very people you think you can't hardly stand, and to turn around instead of cursing their existence, thanking God. I had the privilege this week of telling a lady who was going through some pretty hard times, and she had been offended by some people. And she was telling about this certain person. She said, I just can't stand them. I don't want to be around them, no way, shape, or form. And I said, did you ever look at it as God using them as someone to conform you to the image of Christ? And she was at her computer deal, and she turned and looked at me, and she said, I've never thought about that. But she said, I'm going to. A whole new focus of why these people are in the world and why God has allowed these people to come in contact with you. Verse number 14, and above all these things, put on charity, which is a bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you're also called in one body, and be you thankful. Romans chapter 7, turn there with me if you will. Romans chapter 7. I want you to see Paul's struggle. God's opening my eyes. I think it takes time. But God's opening my eyes to some patterns in Scripture that I never really realized before, more and more all the time. Let me tell you something. I do not hardly know of a great man in the Bible, what you'd call a hero of the faith, that didn't have tremendous failures. And you better be glad that God recorded them, because if He didn't, you wouldn't have any hope, and I wouldn't have any hope. Romans chapter 7, verse number 22. After Paul has talked about, in verse number 15 through 18, about all the old flesh. Let's go back to verse number 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal. You know what carnal means? That means flesh, sold unto sin. For that which I do, I allow not. But what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me. Isn't that true? You know what he's saying? I've got a dove in me. I've got a dove nature. The will's present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. For the evil which I would not, that I do. You mean this is the Apostle Paul talking here? Yes, it is. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find in a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God. Here it is. The what man? The inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Can I tell you something I know about everybody in this building that's saved today? I know that you've said things and done things and had attitudes, and you've had sin get a hold of you, and you said, oh, who delivered me from this wretched? I don't know why I do that. I'm a child of God. I ought not think that way. I'm a Christian. I ought not speak things like that. I ought not treat my wife like that. I ought not treat my husband like that. I ought not treat my children like that. I ought not speak like that to my mom and daddy. I ought not said what I said. Oh, wretched man that I am. But boy, we ain't done, thank God. Amen. Verse number 25, he said, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So with the mind I myself serve the law of sin, but with the flesh the law of sin. Watch verse 8. To chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ, who walk not after the what? The raven, the old flesh, but after the spirit, the dove. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Folks, it is possible to let the dove fly and to keep the old raven down. Amen? I believe we've got to make up our minds that we want the dove to fly in our life. I believe we've got to make up. We'll talk more about that in just a little bit. The dove is second mentioned. You ever hear him talk about the second birth? You must be what? Born again. The dove is the second one let out. In Genesis chapter 8 and verse 9, they said the dove found no rest for the sole of her feet. I don't know about the rest of you, but you know one reason I know I'm saved this morning, Brother Bob, is because that if I start doing something that is of the flesh, that dove is not happy there. And there's no rest for the soul of her. I mean, that dove flew out of that ark, and she's looking for a place to land. All she could see is old dead, nasty garbage out there in the world. There wasn't no place for her to rest. I'm going to tell you about the dove. the dove will not rest in front of your TV set very well. Just be honest about it. The dove's not going to rest around that old gossip and defilement. The dove's not going to rest around that which is of the world and that old nasty, stinking, carcassy, maggot-filled garbage of the world. It just ain't going to rest. There's no rest for the sole of her feet. And you know what I wonder sometimes, Sister Marilyn? If that ain't why we don't have rest in the Lord. Because we're out there trying to fly over a world and live in a world where there can be no rest for the divine nature. And we get spiritually worn out trying to, instead of coming back in Christ where we ought to be and resting in Christ, we're trying to rest out there where we ought not ever be. And we wonder, that new man doesn't even want to set his foot on the things of this world. There's no rest for the dove there. Let me tell you a few things about the dove this morning. First of all, the dove has no method of defense. Spirit-filled people who are where the dove is flying their life, they're not trying to defend themselves all the time. People falsely accuse them, they rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is their reward in heaven. They don't feel like they've got to defend themselves. The Bible said when Jesus was accused, he what? He answered them not a word. I want to say to you today, if you're in business, and if you're in business, you're going to have to deal with people usually. And I'm going to tell you something. The best thing you can do if the dove's flying, don't try to defend yourself all the time. But that old raven will come out and start justifying, and boy, I mean, he'll start defending himself, but Jesus didn't. I have found out that if I just... watch this verse. Listen to this verse. It is the glory of a man to pass over a transgression. You want glory? You pass over a transgression. Let it go. Let it go. The dove has no method of defense. You ever seen a dove fight with a raven? I have never. The only thing he'll do is just leave out. Romans 12:19, Jesus said, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I'll repay." He said, "Avenge not yourselves." He said, "Blessed are you when men shall revile you and lie on you and do all kinds of wrong toward you." Further, I want to say the dove is the only bird or beast known of that has no gallbladder. Speaks of no bitterness in him. If the dove is living and prominent in our life, there'd be no bitterness in us. Take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 24. We'll just back up to verse 22. Does everybody there say amen?
Amen.
That you put off, verse number 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is what? Created. Boy, I want to get that down. This dove nature is a creation of God. He's created in righteousness and true holiness. That is a very important passage of Scripture. True, not a holiness that's trying to be jived up by, well, I dress right, that makes me holy. Or I don't do this, that makes me holy. Or I do this and that makes me holy. God creates that new nature in true holiness. Not quite as sepulchres full of dead men's bones. Not a religious facade. But holiness that will be just as effective at the house as it is at the church. Just as effective out there in the lost people as it is among saved people. Then he said in verse number 25, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we're members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not, and let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor with which working with his hands the thing which is good that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." Verse number 30, watch it real careful now. "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption." I'd like to take a poll this morning, and I'll participate in the poll. How many of you have, you've done something listed here, and you knew you grieved the Holy Ghost of God, and you just, I mean, he just grieved right inside. You just sensed it. Boy, I have. I mean, Sister Mary, I popped off my mouth, and just as quick as I did, the Holy Ghost said, just kind of lifted and said, "I'm not part of that. I'm not part of that flesh stuff, Reggie." He said in verse number 31, "Let all bitterness, and wrath, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted,
forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you.
That old dove is the only animal that don't have a gallbladder, and it speaks that he has no bitterness in him. And I want to tell you, when we're filled with the Spirit of God and walking in the Spirit and being led of the Spirit, we don't have bitterness in us. You know, some of the most bitter people in the world are ministers. Sister Marilyn, I know I can't see down your heart, but I believe you're far enough down the trail I can preach straight at you this morning and maybe be an encouragement to all of us. But you know what impressed me about this lady when I first began to find out who she was and kind of a little bit about their past? She was a preacher's wife, and she wasn't bitter. How many's ever noticed they just seems to bubble, the joy seems to bubble out of her like an Ozark spring? She just shakes with joy sometimes. And you know what? She got a hold of that somewhere along the trail. Let the dove fly in her life. Now, I guarantee you, now she could probably tell you that if she'd let the old devil, he'd have fed her all the rotten bitterness and stuff that she wanted in her life. And she could have come in this church and sat down and just hid and said, well, I tell you, we've been done wrong here, and we got crucified here, and we got lied on here, and we got run off here, and we got all this done to us down in our life. And she could be a bitter, bitter elderly woman, but she's not. Why? Because she's let the dove fly. No bitterness. Let all bitterness be put away from you with all malice. Be tender-hearted, forgiving one another. This ain't such loud amen preaching, is it? But it'll help us, amen? It'll help us. The dove is quiet in motion and in movement. I think we better get a hold of this. Reggie Kelly, he doesn't think the Holy Ghost has gotten this service unless we're... But did you know something? That is not necessarily true. Now, the Holy Spirit is also symbolized by wind and fire in the Bible. And let me tell you something. Sometimes there's going to be some motion and some movement, but that'll be when it's symbolized by wind and fire. But I want to tell you something. The truth about it is I love the dove to come down. And when the dove don't move with a lot of flap and flatter, that dove will just come in. He don't come in. The old dove will just come in quiet. Did you know the dew is a symbol of the Holy Spirit of God coming down? The dew comes down quiet in the morning. It moves, not proud. The dove doesn't come in proud and demanding, saying, scoot over, I've come in. The dove is a symbol of purity in the Bible, of true holiness, of what, that which is pure, that which is lovely, that which is of good report. The dove also is a comforting animal. How many of you have heard the mourning dove? I mean, out across the hills. Oh, listen. There is no sound quite like it. Can anybody mock that sound? I've tried it all week so I could use it to preach with. I just can't get it. But all to walk outside and you'd be walking out there maybe 30, 40, 50 feet and all of a sudden over on the hill you hear that dove. You know, there's something about that. It's kind of like there's a peacefulness and a comfort. I'm honest with you. I've loved that since I was a kid, hearing that old dove over on the hillside. The Holy Ghost, the Bible says, is our what? Comforter. Our comforter. You know what the Holy Spirit will do? You can be going through some bad, wild times in your life, and the Holy Spirit just come along and say, it's going to be all right. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll take care of it. You're going to make it through. You're going to be all right. Oh, that dove, amen, that comforts us in our time of need. And then the dove is this emblem of peace. Down through the ages, there's an old song that says, he whispers sweet peace to me. That olive branch symbolizes, even yet today, peace. Now, I want to say a word to you this morning about peace. How did you and I get peace? I'll show you something about the liberal propaganda machine on the news media right here. How did you and I get peace with God? Did God send us a diplomat? He sent us one who had to bear the wrath of God's judgment against sin. Did you know sometimes there has to be war in order for there to be peace? And in fact, did you know that there was a war fought and Jesus Christ won that war at Calvary for you and I in order for you and I to have peace? He did not send a diplomat to debate with the devil, to meet at the UN with the devil and discuss it all and say, now I want you to disarm. Jesus disarmed him. And can I tell you something? I'm glad we've got a president that understands that if Britain and Germany or Britain and France would have disarmed Hitler in the 1920s and the early 1930s, that they would have not have had some of our uncles and our grandpas would still be here today and would not have to have went over and fought that war. And the best thing we can do is knock that Hitler out now. And that there does have to be war sometimes in order for there to be peace. Did you know that there has to be a wrestling in your soul before there can be peace? Did you know that some of you may wrestle about the call of God upon your life? There has to be a war raging in your own heart. And until God wins that war over your soul, there'll never be peace in your soul. Some of you wonder why I don't have peace today. You're at war with God. Not in the sense maybe of being saved, but you're at war about the will of God in your life. And until you surrender and let God win that war in your life, there's never going to be peace in your heart. He's a symbol of peace. The peace which passeth all understanding. And then the dove is an emblem of gentleness and meekness. The Holy Spirit will cause a rough, coarse man, harsh, turn him into be a gentleman. Now, I want to tell you, I see that all over this church house. How'd you like to be around Don Zinn if he didn't have a dove in him? Don, ain't that the truth about me and you? How'd you like to be around me, Don, without a dove in me? How'd you be around by Dean Martin? How'd you like to be around Don Kelly? I mean, Jan, if there wasn't a dove, there'd be no hope, would there? Amen. Karen, how'd you kids like with me if you didn't know that there's a dove of God in your daddy's heart? And the rest of you guys sit over in that sin. That's the bad side of church over here. This is the bad culture. No, I'll tell you the truth. Aren't you glad, Brother Phil, that there's a dove? It'll take a man that cusses and treats his wife wrong and treats his children wrong and it'll turn him into a gentleman. And make him be a gentleman and have him have meekness. He don't have to have his way all the time now. Turn a rough woman into a lady. That's what the dove will do. Oh, isn't that good? I wish Gloria Steinem would get the dove. Amen? I wish some of these OERA and NOW gals wishing they was men. You know what the devil's just... I mean, he's got them so messed up it ain't even funny. They're never going to have no peace unless the dove comes to their soul. You never see the dove fighting and striving. That devil just move on out. The dove is known for harmlessness. So Paul told the old Philippian jailer, he said, do thyself no harm. The Holy Spirit controlled people. They don't desire to harm other people. They don't want to harm people. They're not out to hurt. They consider whether my words or my actions or my deeds will harm and damage other people. The dove is an emblem of love and affection. And you show me a church where the dove's at, and I'll show you a church where people love each other. Amen. Let me tell you something this morning. Starting with our married couples, there needs to be some love and affection. Fellas, we need to hug our wives. We need to walk in the house, put our arms around them, pull them up close to us and just say, honey, I love you. Amen. I mean, kind of do like the old Daddy Eagle does every once in a while. You know, give her a back rub and scratch her head and all that. You know, I mean, give her some love and affection. Amen. I'll tell you something. You say, well, I don't know about all that. Well, I'll just say this. Your marriage will stay better. Amen. And I'm going to tell you wives. I'm going to give you a little secret. And I'm speaking for every man in this house, but I guarantee you, when that husband pops through the door, you do yourself a favor to meet him. And make him feel like you just couldn't hardly wait till he got home. And hug him. I don't tell you something, it'll help. But you know what that old raven says? Well. Now, that old raven flies at your house more than you want to admit, so just come on. Old raven says, well, just. I think the last time I remember I hugged them. It's their turn. No raven ever flew anybody's heart like that. Y'all think about it. I'm going to tell you something else. My boys, I guess I don't know whether it embarrasses or not, but I'll hug them right around the ball game, work. I just like to grab them and hug them. Amen. I like to hug my boys. And my girls, they're at the age where they go. But I'll tell you what, I'm going to hug them while they're home, amen? Do you know what most elderly people are starving to death for?
or for some dove to come along and hug them. They just want somebody to hug them. They want to know they're still in this world. Does anybody in this world still want to touch me? And the affectionate touch of somebody with the Spirit of God working in them. And I'm going to tell you something else in this church. It won't hurt for men to just throw around arm around another man, just hug him, you know, and tell him you appreciate him, and women to express affection. You ladies ought to be so grateful. My, what a blessing you are to each other. The potential, the blessing of the women of this church, the potential of the blessing of the men of this church is just something else. I'll tell you what, I mean, Eva's brothers, Steve, I'll tell you what, the old raven, he'll fly if we ain't careful. Van, I'm telling you what, if we ain't careful, it's the raven. Well, I'm just going to be cold today. Do you know something? I believe God wants us, even His blood brothers, to be able to shake our hands and say, I love you. I appreciate you as my brother. I will tell you that the thing that overcomes me sometimes is the privilege I've had of preaching to my own family and getting to go to church with them. And probably, to be honest with you, I've been taught more spiritual truth having to go to church with my own family. Because that's where real life is at. Well, the dove is known for cleanliness. In older days, when a young lady would get into immorality, she was called a soiled dove. And that which is around God will be clean. God wants our hearts to be clean, our mind to be clean. And I promise you, the dove's not going to be around a dirty joke. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. You want to grieve the dove in your life? Just get around where there's filthy conversation, nasty jokes or something like that. And you don't get away from it. The dove doesn't want to be around that stuff. The dove is known for quickness. The dove will come in quickly and the dove will leave out quickly. If you've ever tried to shoot doves, you know you've got to be a fast shot to get a dove. They're fast. And I've noticed in years of preaching, in a church service, there'll be a time when the dove comes. And then that dove will lift. And I'm going to be honest with you, you get an invitation or you're preaching and the dove lifts, you just will let out church. Because it's over. And let me say something to you this. That in the quietness of that dove's move and the quickness of his move, when you're having these private times that Donnie's been talking about in Sunday school, there'll be a time like Brother Maine said, when that dove prompts you, like Sister Mary said, when that dove prompts you to pray, you better do it while the dove's speaking to you, while that dove came and said, you ever been out with the Lord and you didn't even know why you started weeping? Well, the dove came. The dove came. The dove is also known for order. The Spirit of God brooded over the face of the deep. The Bible teaches how the Spirit of God, and you know what He brought out of the darkness? He brought order and life. Did you know something? The Holy Spirit, if you let the dove reign in your life, it'll bring order to your life. And instead of chaos and confusion and bewilderment, when the Holy Spirit's in control of our hearts and our minds and our mouths and our attitudes, there'll be order instead of chaos. And it'll bring life instead of death to those around us. The fact of the two natures, that's what I've been preaching on. If you don't believe it, turn to Genesis again. How many here believes Noah was a saved man? Turn to chapter 9, verse 20. Genesis chapter 9, verse 20. Is it time to keep preaching? That's a different way of putting it, wasn't it? Noah, Genesis chapter 9, verse 20. This is after Noah's gotten off the ark. And Noah began to be a husbandman. He planted a vineyard and he drank the wine and was drunken and was uncovered within his tent. Here's a man who preached for 120 years, obeyed God, got his family in the ark, came through the flood, got older in life, got drunk and naked. You know why? Because he still had a flesh nature in him. You know why God recorded that to you and I? To warn us. And to let us know that as long as you're walking in this stupid old fleshly sin-cursed body, I don't matter if you preach. Let me tell you something. My daddy told me about a preacher in a rest home. His mind got bad and he said, Reggie, he'd liable to come out with a spurt of curse words. And he said, I knew the man.
preached for years. What was that, Jerry? His old flesh nature coming out of him. His mind giving way. His old flesh nature just coming out. Just start cussing. You know what the message is to you? The fact of the raven dove. I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care how many victories you've had in Jesus Christ. That flesh is still capable of coming out on you and messing you up and getting you in a condition, a situation you thought you'd never be in. And you know what the ultimatum of this whole message ought to be? Is to drive us to our knees in humility and daily dependence on the Holy Spirit of God. And you know what? When we get up in the morning, you know what, Donnie? You're trying to do in the Sunday school class? Is to get us to get up in the morning and set the dove loose instead of the raven. That's what it really boils down to. Lord, rather than letting the raven fly today, by my words and actions and deeds, Lord, I want that dove to be at work in my heart and my life today. Now, I'm not going to preach the rest of this now. I'm just going to give it to you. There's the flight. Then there's the fight. Galatians 5, 16, 17. The flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and the two are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things you would. You're going to have a fight between the raven and dove about who's going to rule and reign, and I don't have time to preach on that. And then there's the flight. Who's flying? If I was to ask my kids this honest question, kids, please don't answer Daddy now. But if I was to say to my kids, at our house, at our farm, at our work, which one flies the most? The raven or the dove? I'm scared to have them answer. At your house, at your family, at your work, away from this church house. If I were to ask your family members which bird's flying the most, I wonder what they'd tell me. Who's flying the most? Who's being let loose and set out in my house? Oh God, this morning help us to let the dove fly. Amen.
Amen.
And I'll finish it up like this. Now, I'm cutting off about 35, 40 minutes of this message, all right? I'm trying to let the dove fly. I'm trying to get out of here before the dove flies. But there's the finish of the dove. Did you know this? That the dove is going to conquer the raven? The dove's going to conquer the raven. Remember the old song, "This road of flesh I'll drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize. And the secondborn shall overcome the firstborn." And you better be thankful that when God saved you, He just didn't say, "I'm going to give you a little help to try to be a Christian. I'm going to make you a new creature in Christ. I'm going to put in you a new nature. And that new nature will outlive and outlast that old nature. And you'll drop that old nature one day. And I'll give you a new glorified body to go with that new nature of the dove. And it'll never sin again." Amen. God will deliver. Aren't you glad this morning for the Word of God? I hope this message... I want us to pray right now. Oh God, may the dove rule in my life. Now there's an interesting thing. Watch this. Who let the birds loose? Noah. You have choices every day. What bird's going to fly out of my life every day? I don't tell you this much. It's going to take more than just a choice. It's going to take the grace of God. But how many's like me this morning and say, "Brother Reggie, I'm going to tell you where will the raven fly?" Did you know that raven can fly right out of that pulpit? Did you know I can preach in the flesh and do a pretty good job of it? Did you know the raven can fly just anywhere where you're at? I mean, whatever you're doing, it can fly. And I'll tell you what I want to be as I get older. Now, I don't want to slip on my standards, my convictions, and my beliefs, all right? But I'm going to tell you one thing I want to be. If I live long enough to die, if I die, and the people who know me come by my casket, I want my testimony to be that He let the dove fly more than He did the raven. He was gentle.
He's meek. He's lived clean. That's really what I want. That's really what's going to count, isn't it? As our testimony is left, he being dead yet speaketh, that's what we need to leave behind. I want my kids to remember Daddy had the dove more than Daddy had the raven. You know what, this morning? In this Sunday school curriculum, right here, one of the first things in it is about repentance. And I've learned something. Repentance is a continual thing in the child of God. And this morning, I wonder if we ought not this morning repent of letting the raven fly in our hearts and our lives and our homes and say, God, please forgive me for letting the raven fly. When's the last time you had an outburst? When's the last time you had a fit? When's the last time you had a spell? When's the last time you had a lot of bad thoughts about people? Have you forgiven somebody for the offense they've committed against you? Are you carrying that bitterness and feeding off that garbage? And are you involved in some things you ought to quit being involved in? And I wonder if we could just bow our heads together and say and pray, oh God, I've been letting the raven fly. Forgive me. And God, I'm asking you for the grace today to have the dove fly in my life. Let's bow our heads together. Dear Lord, you've been here this morning with us. We thank you for that. Lord, you have said in your word to be still and know that I am God. And sometimes I wonder, Lord, the reason the dove can't land is because we've not been still. We're always moving about, always in a go, always in a ramble, and never taking the quiet time for you. Lord, it's easy for me to see this morning that you've been trying to nudge us and direct us and guide us in this congregation through our Bible class times and through the preaching of your word and through the situations and circumstances of our lives, that you want us to be still and know that you're God. Lord, I know this morning, I know these people pretty well, Lord, and I know they're just kind of like me. They'd like to have peace and tranquility in their lives. Even when there are storms raging about them, they want the peace of God that passeth all understanding. They don't want their lives to be filled with worry and fear and all kinds of things, Lord, that just tears up their souls. God, this morning we need the dove. And I'm asking, Lord, I remember where you said in Luke chapter 11, verse 13, that if we being evil know how to give good gifts unto our children, how much more shall the Father give the Spirit to them that ask? Lord, this morning we ask you today, give us of your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray for the dove to be at work in my life. I don't want to be an old crank. I don't want to be a grouch. I don't want to be a flash pan, a powder, waiting to be ignited by somebody's offense. I want, Lord, the dove to be upon my soul, upon my heart, upon my spirit. And Lord, I want Christ to be reflected. And Lord, when I read over there where Jesus was standing in the Jordan River and the Spirit of God descended upon him like a dove. And then when I think of, Lord, his life from that point on, and I see how the dove was at work whenever he stood there as the woman taken in adultery, and as he listened to them and wrote in the sand and said, neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. And I, Lord, see how he answered when he was falsely accused and how he dealt with all the junk and garbage and lies and deception, Lord, that was thrown at him. And whenever I see how he was dealt with when he was falsely accused, Lord, I think, my, how the dove was upon him. Lord, when I see Jesus hanging on the cross of Calvary, Lord, this morning, and I see him say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Lord, I see the dove upon his soul. I thank you, Lord, this morning for that. And I guess, Lord, this morning what I'm asking you is, Lord, would you just let the dove light upon our lives? And may there be more peace and tranquility in our marriages, and more peace and tranquility in our homes. And may the Holy Spirit have a wonderful place to dwell within our bodies. Lord, I pray that we would not quench nor grieve the Holy Ghost of God. And Lord, I pray as a result that people would sense the Spirit of the living God is in those people, and they'd want what we have. Now, Lord, we ask for forgiveness. Lord, I repent today. I just acknowledge you, Lord.
be honest about, Lord, if I wasn't myself, I would despise myself at times. I wonder sometimes, Lord, how other people can still love me when I've acted the way I've acted. But Lord, we thank You for Your mercy. And we ask for it this morning. And God, we pray that You'd give us hearts that just are continually in a repentant spirit, God. Desiring and willing to turn from our sin by the grace of God. Willing to let You change us by the power of Your Spirit. So Lord, make us gentle. Make us meek. Make us like Christ. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello, friend. Thank you for listening to this message from God's Word, the Bible. And this is Pastor Kelly, and I want to thank you for listening to this message. And I want to talk to you about the most serious issues that you and I will ever face, and that is our relationship to God. About salvation, about being saved, about being born again, forgiven, reconciled to God. You see, you have a problem, and I had a problem. And that problem is sin. Sin is the transgression of God's law. And you and I have sinned. We've broken. In fact, the Bible teaches in James chapter 2, if you broke one, you broke them all. I don't think many of you that are listening would argue with me that we're sinners. Sinners by nature and sinners by birth. And we're guilty before God. Now, you and I are in big trouble because we're in trouble with God. It's one thing to have the law of man and the law of society after you. But it's another thing to have the law of God after you, to be in trouble with God. So we have a problem. That problem is sin. You and I have committed more sins than we can remember. We can't even call them all to remembrance today. There are so many. But I'm glad to tell you, secondly, there's a penalty for sin. And I'm glad of that because I'm glad God's a holy and a just God. The penalty for sin was death. He told Adam and Eve, the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. And they did. They died spiritually. They were separated from God. The word death means separation. And they died a physical death later on. That's why death and destruction and misery and sin of all kinds is around you and I, because of sin. But the main penalty for sin is eternal death, that is separation from God in the lake of fire forever and forever, tormented in that fire. That's the penalty for our sin. So we have a problem, we have a penalty, but the greatest and best news you've ever heard is that we have a provision. Jesus Christ, the righteous. God knows that we're sinners. And God knows we can't save ourselves. And God knows the condition that you're in out there today. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins. Think about that phrase. He suffered for sins. The just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Why did He suffer? To bring us to God. The provision is that Jesus Christ paid for your sin by His death, burial, and resurrection. Isaiah 53 says that He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The Philippian jailer wanted to be saved and asked the Apostle Paul, what must I do to be saved? And Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. What did he mean, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Believe that He is the Son of God and that He died on the cross for your sins and rose from the dead. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, and that includes you, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus said, all that come to Me, I will in no wise cast out. John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. There was a man one day, the Bible records, who went to a church and he prayed this prayer, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I want to ask you right now to do it. I want you to do it right now. I want you to do it not tomorrow, not the next day. I want you today to cry out to God. If you know that you're a sinner, you agree with God that you're a sinner and you're under conviction about that sin. Listen, I'm not talking about a fix for all the problems you have. I'm talking about a fix for the situation between you and God. You're living in a world of sin, and you're going to have to deal with that till you die, I'm telling you. But I'll tell you something, it's good to know after you die that you've got a place where there's no more tears and no more sorrow, no more pain, no more sin, no more devil, not even your own flesh nature to have to deal with. And if you'll call on the Lord Jesus Christ, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God wants to save you. He's able to save you, and He's made provision to save you. I hope you'll do that today. It's by faith, friend. It's not by anything else but faith. You just got to believe God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It is a gift, and I hope you'll do that. We just want you to know that God really does love you. Christ really did die for you, and He's risen from the dead, and He's able to save you to the uttermost. He's able to save to the uttermost those who come to God by Him. I hope you have a wonderful day. Thank you for listening again to this tape, and so long.